Thank you for joining us on Time Out with the Lord with my pastor, Dr. Mrs. Senye Obilulu Briggs, who ministers at the Chapel of God International Worship Center. Today's episode will uplift your spirit and edify your soul.
Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you. We thank you for so many reasons. You have been good to us. We have experienced your goodness. We have experienced your compassion. You turn our yesterdays that were very ugly into days of joy and a glorious future in our hearts. We are so grateful. We thank you for the opportunity that we have, and you bring us together. We hear your words, and our lives do not remain the same. From the bottom of our hearts, we say, thank you, Almighty Father, for your word that comes to our lives and addresses issues, makes us to become better children of God. Your word indeed has brought salvation to us. It has brought healing, and quite a lot of us have been testifying. We thank you for that. We thank you because as we continue to learn your word, we get closer and closer to our Savior. Thank you, Almighty Father. Yes, this is our confession, that indeed you have transformed sinners to saints. Thank you. Glory be to your holy name. In the same way, Lord, today, as your word will come forth, Father, we pray that all those that will hear your word, Father, we pray that what we'll learn from there will change us, will turn our lives to such a point where we cannot but help but just be glorifying your holy name. We thank you. We appreciate everything that you are doing, especially in this season. Thank you, Almighty Father. Thank you. For as many as we hear this word, Father, I thank you on their behalf, because I believe, I trust that your word will have great and mighty effects on all of us in the name of Jesus Christ. Glory and honor be to your holy name. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Amen. Today we're looking at the book of prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 26 from verse 1 to 19. Jeremiah 26, 1 to 19. After I read it, I was more concerned about the desire of God upon his people. I realized that God was more interested in our well-being, in our, you know, being saved, in our getting closer to him, you know, in our getting out of trouble more than he is. The way people think, as if God is just standing by like some man that is just standing by waiting for us to make mistakes so that he can wipe us, so that he can punish us. And that is the way people who do not know God see God, that he's this one that when you offend, he punishes, and he's looking, waiting for you to just default so that he can punish you. Reading this passage, I got a totally different understanding of who God is and how he actually relates with us, what's in his mind concerning his children, even the, especially the ones that have gone astray. Prophet Jeremiah himself was perceived as a prophet of doom. That's how many people describe him. This gives the wrong notion. It's as if all he did was to notify people, the people of Judah in this case, of the impending destruction of the house of God and also the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. No. Going through this chapter 26, we see the prophet convey the message of God as God intended it, and the same message is how he intends for us to understand him. The message, first and foremost, was an invitation. Jeremiah 26, an invitation to come worship. Verse 2, to come worship in the Lord's house. That was the invitation. Even today, despite the evil that has multiplied on earth, despite the fact that God is a holy God and would not compromise his standards, he is still calling on sinners. He's calling on sinners to come to him. In the New Testament, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This is Jesus Christ speaking. Jesus Christ, who has paid the price by redeeming us with his blood, invites all to come to him. The invitation of Jesus Christ is to those who are making efforts to save themselves. They are trying by using their effort and their strength. Those who try to be kind, to be good, and ignore God, there is still a heavy load you carry. The invitation is for those who are laden in sins. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. The Lord Almighty pleads with his people. He says, "Come now and let us reason together." I don't know if that sounds like some bloodthirsty God, you know, who derives pleasure in punishing his people. I don't think so. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool." What a loving father. What an invitation. You are coming and you are being told what will happen afterwards. You are not coming unsure. Can he? Will he? He says, no matter how, just come and you'll be washed clean. Now, there's another group of people this invitation is open to. You may say you're not in sin. Okay. Could it be that anxiety is eating you up? Or you carry a heavy conscience, a bad conscience? Hebrews 10:22 invites us to draw near to Jesus Christ. Is your soul afflicted? He offers us eternal rest. All of this is captured in that Matthew 11:28. As you come, that's what he's offering you. Those with afflicted souls, those who carry heavy conscience, things that are they can't even tell their neighbors, their friends, but it's heavy in their hearts and it's weighing them down. Is that what is happening to you? The Lord is pleading that you only make the effort to come. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 to 11. "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from all his works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." The invitation is calling us onto a specific situation that we will find ourselves if we believe and come to him in faith. He said he will give you rest. Outside of him, anxiety and self-righteousness, as you are helping yourself, you begin to tell yourself everything is fine. And then for some, actually, the power of sin will weigh you down. You will not be able to make the journey into your rest. And the chances are that you will fall on the wayside. That is what this Hebrews is telling us. Let us labor. Therefore, to enter into that rest is an invitation. Come and I will give you rest, so that you don't fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, the invitation by Prophet Jeremiah was not for them to come with him and go to some strange places, you know, for some special deliverance, because the sin of Judah was so great. No, it was an invitation to the house of God to hear God's word. The Lord told him, tell them everything, diminish not a word. Stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them. Diminish not a word. As we come in worship of the Almighty God, the spirit of humility takes over. Because you have come, you are recognizing who he is. You are worshiping him, you are appreciating him, you are thanking him, you are expressing the fact that he has powers that you do not have. That's what he does. And at that point, you learn of him, you hear him, you learn of him, you learn from his own example, you learn from his works. The book of John 14:12, Jesus Christ told us, he said, I say unto you, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. In this case, we come across a people, priests and prophets, who were among the many that were gathered in the house of God upon the invitation of Prophet Jeremiah. And these priests were obviously not serving the living God anymore. The invitation is out to us, the ones that are called to serve. You know, service is our sacred duty. Service. As you come to believe, you serve him. It is our sacred duty. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, he said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel, if I preach not the good news. So we are called to serve, and service is our ordained sacred duty. It becomes pathetic when the word of God, which we are supposed to give out, the word of God which we had believed, had received, now becomes itchy in our ears. We get offended. In the case of Jeremiah and the prophets that he invited, they became so incensed against him. The word of God that he told them was a great offense. Even today, it's exactly the same thing that is happening. The preachers of God have become so cowardly. They can no longer speak the truth. They are afraid of what man can do to them. Others don't even know about the word of God. They now speak their own word from their own understanding. There are those who hear, they know the truth, you know, but they act according to the ministration of Satan. Some have quite a lot of skeletons in their cupboards, and so they are compromised. They are afraid of what man can do to them. Today's passage, there were the prophets and the priests, all sorts. But one thing was certain, God was not their priority. They had heard too much from the prophet Jeremiah. As far as they were concerned, it was time to put an end to all of this. Kill the man. They were the ones that screamed it. Let us kill him. Let's look at verse 7 of Jeremiah 26. So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking words in the house of the Lord. Now it came to pass, when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, thou shalt surely die. At that point, the Bible tells us that the princes came. And when they came, they did not enter inside the house of the Lord. They sat at the entrance of the gates of the house of the Lord, the new gate, as it says. Verse 11, the priests and prophets said, insisting, that's after Jeremiah spoke. They were now reporting, justifying, telling these princes that had come, this man is worthy to die because he has prophesied against this city. That was his offense. Now the question is, did Jeremiah wake up to just prophesy against the city of Jerusalem? The answer is no. The point is, that was what they chose to hear. In the entire sentences that Jeremiah spoke, it was the very last sentence that they picked up and held onto. You see, they chose to hear what they wanted to hear because of what they wanted to do. What happens in life is that when the heart is evil, when there's so much pain, hate, sadness, sorrow, you know, envy, all sorts stored in the heart, even when you hear the person tell you good morning, do you know what you hear? Get away. The person said good morning, but all you heard was get away, because there's something in you calling for trouble, stopping you from perceiving even when someone is blessing you. So the trouble in the heart is what comes out. And that's why I always tell people, anytime I'm counseling, delete the poison, all these things from your heart. Delete them so that you can have room to receive the good things that are coming your way. But when your heart is full, first of all, it cannot take in anything good anymore. If it's filled with evil, it will only attract evil. So these people, because trouble was in them, they were only able to give what they had in them. The message was very clear, if we have to look at it nicely, from verse 1 to verse, is it 8 or so? It says, come to worship. As they come to worship in the house of the Lord, speak my word to them. And what were they to do? Hearken. That's all. And all of these things would not have happened. And as you hearken, you turn from evil. That's it. Verse 3. If so be they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I propose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. The evil of their doings had already been noted by God. Yes, he saw it. He noted it. But we are talking about a God that is full of compassion, a God that is full of mercy, who would rather that men turn to him, repent, than for any man to receive what he has sown. But they didn't hear. He went ahead. If you will not walk in my ways, verse 4, if you will not hearken to me to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to hearken to the words, can you see, he's still explaining and explaining, to hearken to the words of my servant the prophet, whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but you have not hearkened. Then verse 6, then will I make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. If you will not hearken, and if you will not walk in my ways, this house of God you are seeing, shall be destroyed. Because you see, when the house was built initially by King Solomon, the Bible tells us that the glory of God filled the temple to the point the priests could not even perform what they were to do. The glory of God was so great, it was physical. Now, the glory of God was no longer there. He came, sent message early in the morning, that they may hear and turn round, so that they may be his people again. And he says, if you will not walk in my ways, this house will be destroyed, it will be plundered. Jerusalem shall be a curse unto all nations. Even with death hanging over Prophet Jeremiah's head, when the princes, he repeated the message. And he says, as far as I'm concerned, I've done it. As for me, you can do with me what you like. When they threatened that they were going to kill him, you know, he said he had delivered his message. If there's no repentance, the end is destruction. Verse 13, 14. Jeremiah still continued preaching. He said, therefore now, amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God. And the Lord will repent him of the evil that he had pronounced against you. As for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do with me as seemeth good and meet unto you. Brethren, a lot is happening. You can choose to have the saving grace of God. It is free. And believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that you have salvation from him. You are cleansed by his blood. Or you can be arguing, philosophizing, and reading many strange books and enlightening yourself in your own ways as is good in your own eyes. Or you can even believe in yourself to save yourself. Whether you believe and amend your ways or not is up to you. The Lord is still calling, and the preachers will continue to preach. And today I sound the same message. Seek him while he is near. For a time will come, you may not even have this opportunity to hear the true gospel. Now, the text focused so much on priests and prophets and preachers and pastors and all of that, and how you are to identify them, to know not to follow or join. Yes, there are priests and prophets, and there are priests and prophets. We should realize that the Christian life we are living is that of a traveler. Unfortunately, some people think that their lives end here. If you're a Christian, then whatever benefits you're seeing here is nothing compared to what awaits you. Compared to, in fact, whatever we are seeing as negative is nothing compared to what awaits those who do not believe after you would have gone. So your focus should be the coming of Christ and the final redemption. So you are a sojourner. The scripture calls us sojourners. And so the wise thing will be that you choose your travel companion. Choose who you want to travel with. The reason why you should choose properly is that the person you choose may just lead you to a point where you totally miss your way. So it's important you choose your travel partner. I want to refer us to the early church in Acts of Apostles, chapter 2, the very early church. If you look at their characteristics, you may be guided on where you want to worship and who you continue this Christian journey with, who you should look up to as an elder or a preacher or a pastor. That is an example, and we cannot change the old landmarks. This early church Jesus Christ loved the early church. Jesus Christ today loves the church triumphant. That's the saints that have gone. And he also loves the church that will be removed, that will be taken away, that will be caught up with him in heaven. I'm not talking about your local church as an organization. I'm talking about the body of believers. He loves the church and he gave himself for the church. So who should be the focus of any gathering called a Christian gathering? Who should you see when you say you are going to the house of God? Who is your heart open to see? Your mind's eye, who are you seeing? If you are seeing man, beware. In your mind's eye, who are you seeing? Christ should be the focus. Jesus is one that shed his blood for you. He's one that saved you. I'm not talking about the name of your church. It can be Church of Christ of Heaven, whatever. Not the name, but what you see, what you focus on, what the church focuses on, that particular place of worship. While yes, we consider all the things that we have in the text, I just want us to look at Acts of Apostles chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. In verse 42, you notice that all they pursued were spiritual realities in Christ. That was their main aim. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, not the doctrine that they have devised, some masters have devised, that is different from the one that was handed down. Because what we are expected to practice is what Jesus Christ gave to the apostles. What the likes of Paul, the foundation that the likes of Paul, you know, established, and we are supposed to build on it. So if your masters are building on top of the foundation which is laid in Christ, things that do not matter and they take them seriously, they are laying, you know, blocks which cannot be on top of that original foundation. So it is for you to know. There was an early church, and our churches today should be patterned towards that early church, for they are the ones that set the foundation for us. We cannot know Christ outside of them. The revelation we receive, whether be in dreams or visions, cannot be different from the Christ that has been revealed in his word. So as they pursue after spiritual realities, you too pursue after spiritual realities, the things that matter, the doctrine, the breaking of bread, the fellowship one with another, prayer. That's what they were doing. Two, they demonstrated the power of God. I was in a church, one of the very big churches, and I actually heard the bishop preach, because it was an invitation, it was a ceremony. So it was the bishop himself that preached, and I could not believe what I was hearing. He said, all these things that they are doing is fake, because the Spirit of God came upon the early disciples, or the early apostles and the disciples. And as it came upon them, it is not with us. The Spirit is no longer performing as it performed at that time. So we are only supposed to, you know, I don't even understand. But the import of it all was that this, we cannot experience the miraculous works of the Spirit, because the Spirit is not physically with us. The man, Holy Spirit, is not with us. He was only with them, and the churches were established. And that is the doctrine of the church. And that is the father of the churches that were established. But thank God, his word will never die. God has revealed his word to his children, and he always has a remnant who will say, no, in me is the Holy Spirit of God, according to what the word of God said. You know, Jesus will not lie. He said he will send, and he did send. And the words that he was speaking in the book of John from the 14 to 17, he says it's not just for those people that were hearing, it is for even them that will believe. So the fact that you don't have it does not mean that I will not have it. Now, you notice that in those churches where they deny the power of the Holy Spirit and the effectiveness of the presence of the Holy Spirit, truly those churches don't have powers. They don't even expect powers. There are no testimonies. You know, their life they is just a service, they call it. You know, a requirement of being a Christian. Every Sunday, you will go to church. Every Sunday, some man will minister and preach, and then you go back home. And that makes you a Christian. They don't tell you to be born again, and they hardly preach for you to look forward to the coming of Christ. You know, and they tell you that when you die, you are remembered by the good deeds that you did. And that sounds very nice in the eyes of people. Of course, you'll be remembered by the good deeds that you did. But who cares how you are remembered here? After death is judgment. So the focus should be what happens to man after death. So if they remember me as a bad person, they remember me as a good person, how does that change how God perceives me or how God remembers me? I want to be remembered. I want to be recorded by God as having done his work. If men do not appreciate it, too bad. The Bible already tells me that men will be offended by me. So when I try to start appeasing, so that I'll be a good person, because that is the preaching. And so they try to do good. They try to do good, and that is Christianity. Brethren, realize that the demonstration of the power of God is what differentiates God from other gods. Because the other gods, they have eyes they don't see, they have hands they can't deliver. Our God delivers. And so when our God delivers us, we know that the Spirit of God has moved around us and in our lives. Again, the early church was very much dedicated to sacrificial giving. Verse 44 and 45. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. Is the Lord ministering to you? Because if the place you worship, they don't encourage it, and you have heard these words now, you are the church. You are part of the church. What you have, when you're seeing the brethren lack, you cannot have too much. For God to give you more than 3 loaves of bread at a time, he has given it to you so that you'll be able to give out 2 to other people. Begin to look around your life. What is it that you can? What is it that you have? And what can you share? That was how life was. It was not about what they accumulate in order to be known as wealthy, but in what they had and what they brought out to be used, that men may glorify God. We hear these words, we know them, but we put them aside. Why? Because we look at ourselves and we say we don't have enough. There is nobody that ever has enough. It's a decision that you make, that for this moment, God will supply all your needs. And so whatever you have, and you see someone that has less, it is good to share. It is good to give. Make others happy. That was how they were living. They were dedicated to sacrificial living. They were not dedicated to collections unto themselves. Verse 46, they served God in simplicity. It was not tedious. It was very easy. Just come, worship. you know, and they continuing daily. When I told people that we're going to start a morning devotion, they were saying, let us do it twice a week. I say, why twice? Why can't we sacrifice 1 hour? It's not even a sacrifice. Why can't we go and collect from God beautiful things, blessings, 1 whole hour in the presence of God? If God passes by, it's a blessing. Imagine Him with you 1 hour. You see, it is good for children of God to understand how great their Father is. So when you are coming into the presence of God and you are dedicating that time to Him, you become expectant. Ha, this 1 hour I'm going to spend before God, my life has to change. It's as simple as that. As you are coming, set your mind. This time, no, now, it cannot be the same. That matter, it is dead already. You know it. If you are having sickness and you're coming, the word of God heals. So as you're coming, this problem that doctors say there is no cure, the word of God, this hour that I'm spending, Father, it doesn't take you 1 hour. But 1 hour in your presence, I have to have my healing. That should be the mindset of children of God that come. You know, and you as you're living, you drop every load, everything that was heavy in your heart, and you leave this place light. That was what was happening every day. It's so beautiful. It's, in fact, when I said on Saturdays, people should on their own do it, I had a few people who were telling me, Saturdays, let's come now. Let's be together. But God just wants to encourage us individually, because there are times He needs your attention by yourself. And there are times He said that we should get together. For when you get together, you will see how someone was frowning. Others, even when people are laughing, the person is frowning. You will notice it. And maybe as the devotion is over, they are going, you walk towards the person. There's one old woman that does it in the Chapel of God in Port Harcourt. When church is over, she doesn't leave. Just before everything, she'll start looking at people's faces. I had to ask her, why do you always stay behind? Why? She said, well, you have asked me, so I'll tell you. There are some people, after all the hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and we sing, sometimes she notices they just sit and they're just watching. They are totally lost. Sometimes they are frowning. Some sing, but when they are going, at the end, they bend their faces, they carry their bag. That she walks to such people and she will speak the language. Sit down now. So the person will think she wants to tell them something. Because of the way she does it, they open up to her. 9 out of 10 cry before they leave. And she doesn't disturb anybody. The little she has, she will share. Some is the word. She says she has had so many children. Most of them are young girls and boys who are into one thing or the other. And they can't talk to their parents. They can't talk to pastor, because probably pastor knows their parents. So it is this strange woman. So they are able to open up. So you see, we need to work with one another. We need to have one another's life. We need to look at it and see ourselves as the companion, people that will help hold somebody else up and walk with the person. It is not all the time that we should see ourselves as deprived. No, be the person that, and this woman, she's an old woman who has nothing. But listening ear, sometimes the direction she will give to the person will save the person's life. So God is speaking to us. Simplicity, that's what it is, simplicity. The Spirit of God is in you if you are born again. And if you calm down, I keep saying it, listen. So when you talk to God, listen to Him. You come to His presence, listen, take something. There's simplicity. And that is what they were doing. And that simplicity comes from conviction. They are totally convinced. So there's no need to act. It is just natural to them, you know. So we see that in the way they continued with one another, breaking bread from house to house. You know, they going to visit another person, they are not going for anything. You know, let's be involved with Christ. And when you see a church that is doing that, bend down your head and enter and follow them in doing it. If they are not encouraging it, be careful. Again, they enjoyed favor because of the conviction that they have. You know, the church received favor from men because the church did not consider anything else in their conviction. They did not consider the government of the day, which is what our churches do today. They had no allegiance to religious groupings. The allegiance was only to God. God first and God last. And so Ephesians chapter 5 verse 6 tells us, let no man deceive you with vain words. These days, there's the art of preaching. It's an art, you know, and some people master it, how to speak and how to influence. They plan it before coming out. Where is the Holy Spirit, if I may ask? It's good to study, but some act and it ministers to people. It's all right. The people that have taken it, it is them and their God. In whatever we are doing, is it the Holy Spirit that is moving you? In whatever we are doing, let us be careful. It is because of their character and because of their good work that they found favor. And when they say the church found favor, who are the beneficiaries of that favor? It is the members, the people in the church. So if you want favor from God and you want favor from man, the character and the people you're fellowshipping with and the things that the church, the body of Christ that you identify with is doing determines a lot in that direction. And so verse 47 tells us that new members were added daily. They were praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. There are some churches, they are not even looking for new members because they don't evangelize. They have a register of members. It negates everything Christ and what he has said. Every instruction of God, multiply, be fruitful. You know, so what we have seen is membership. This is their member. They don't want any more because they don't evangelize. They are happy and they make budgets based on that list of names that they have. Every Sunday, people have their permanent seats. They know where each person is sitting, you know. Maybe if they are doing something, they will invite and they treat you like a stranger. You are not one of them. You know, you are just invited to come. They love the member and you remain a member. Brethren, we can go on and on and on. But the important thing is what we have in this book of Ephesians. Let no man deceive you at all, so that the wrath of God will not come upon you as it will come on children of disobedience. Because if you are deceived, you will be led astray. May God Almighty direct our footsteps to the right travel companion so that we don't get diverted in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We believe you've been blessed by listening to this episode of Time Out with the Lord with Dr. Mrs. Senye Obi Lulu Briggs. You can join our daily meetings on Zoom and Skype by logging on to our website at www.timeoutwiththelord.com. For daily messages and encouragement, you can also add us on WhatsApp with the number +447506693440. For more information, please call 084-555-188 or 084-554-430. We invite you to worship with us on Sundays by 10 a.m. at the Chapel of God International Worship Center at number 22 Forces Avenue, OGRA, Port Harcourt, Nigeria. Remember, you are God's most beloved.